Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
There's some places that we're going into that I feel like I want to speak on, but I want to speak to two separate issues at the same time, which is what's hard. Because God wants me to speak on two separate issues, and yet one of them takes 3 weeks to explain, and the other one probably would take a year. But he's like, do them both in the same day. I'm like, what? I don't even know how they all blend together, but we're going to find out. Are you guys okay with that? Let's discover what the Lord has for us today, but we're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you are doing. We thank you that the places that we're going is not where we have been. I thank you that all the things that you want to do in this place require that we come under your perfect authority, that we listen to the prophetic word, that we listen to the word of the Lord at every given moment. And Father, I thank you that you call us to partner with you, not as bystanders, not as observers, but as active participants in building your kingdom. We ask God that today every blinder would be removed, every stronghold would be torn down in our hearts and in our minds. Because God, you've called us into destiny. You've called us into a place of hope. So, Father, I ask that this morning, everywhere where there's been hopelessness, despair, despondency, that there would be hope revealed and released in hearts and minds. Father, I pray that we would understand what the responsibility of the kingdom is instead of just sitting back and waiting for someone else to do it. Father, you've been burdening my heart, and I ask God that today as I just speak from my heart from a couple of places, that God, you would speak. I don't want people to hear my voice. I want them to hear you, Lord. So, Father, may you just sift through even my soul so that as I speak, only your words come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The heart's cry of a good steward is, it will never be mine, it will always be yours. The heart's cry of a good steward is, it'll never be mine, it'll always be yours. Never mine. It'll never be mine. Every time that you start to take possession of those things that are the Lord's, you're a bad steward. Your life is not your own. Your life is not your own. We talked about this a little bit last week about spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and he was poured out. And guess what? It ain't just for you, right? It's for the world around us. We have to get this heart shift. I am a steward of the gifts of God. I am a steward of my finances that are actually his. I'm a steward of my time. I'm a steward of my heart. I'm a steward of everything that God has given me. I have to get myself out of the way. But what about my calling? It's not for you. Your calling, like, God will use you to impact people, but it ain't for you. But I want the cushy job. It ain't for you, maybe. Some of us get to live a dream life. Do you know what the dream is? You know what the best life ever is? To walk under the power of the Holy Spirit and obeying God and watching him do miracle after miracle after miracle, watching him provide in ways that you never even understood, and then standing back at the end and going, look at what the Lord did. We so want it all right now. We are so self-centered that we're hoping that God, give me all the blessings right now. I'm rereading a book because Malvina and I are meeting every week and we're talking about the prophetic destiny over this house, and we're also developing some prophetic curriculum for the whole community because North Idaho needs healthy prophetic grounding because we are a thin place. People who have a prophetic gifting love Sandpoint. because they can hear really clear all of a sudden. I have friends that come and preach in this church and they are not prophetic. I'm just telling you, like, then they see people, they're not like, I see a sign above your head that says, Micah's amazing. You know, like, some people have that, you know, where they're just like, woo, they just flow in it. My friends that don't operate in the gifts that way show up in this pulpit, they show up in this place, in this region, and they're like, start prophesying in the middle of the sermon, they just stop. I'm like, I got a word for you, I got a word for you. And they're like, oh, what happened? Well, we've seeded the atmosphere for the word of the Lord to be heard and spoken forth in a healthy manner here. That's why we don't just let anybody grab a mic. Okay. Listen, if you want a harvest on some level, you kind of have to guard it. It's a true story. So some people get offended about that and whatever, and that's okay. You get offended about it. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm not worried about your offense. I'm going to pray for you because that is not God's will for your life. Stewardship is managing a household. That's what it means. The word stewardship means managing a household. I want to talk about the household of God, stewardship, fasting, and restoration. Like, God's doing this, okay? God's going to weave it all together. Like I said, I don't know how he's going to do it. But this is what he's doing today. Stewardship is managing heaven's resources for the Father's business. This is one of our core values, is that we are stewards. We are here to manage heaven's resources for the Father's business. As good stewards, we have to be very aware of what resources the Lord is trying to use, what is he trying to do, and what's our part in managing those resources, right? Some people would be like, you know, God's really big. He doesn't need you to do da, da, da. No, but he invites us into that. He says, I want to partner with you. I'm going to give you some talents and I'm going to let you go steward that. Jesus said, this is the kingdom. The kingdom is like a man who went away. A businessman who gives his talents, 1, 2, and 5 talents out, right? There is a stewardship in the kingdom that God is awakening in us because he wants to set a governmental order in place. Stewardship is not about elevating men, and it's not about elevating man's authority. It is always elevating those who have been anointed by God to be in leadership. King Saul was horrible, but he was God's anointed. David understood that. That's why David never spoke a bad word about Saul, ever. Not ever, because he understood God's the one who anoints. It's not up to me. I love the book, The Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards, where he says, how do you respond when spears get thrown at you? Right? Because we learned in our culture how to throw spears back. Right? Oh, you throw a spear at me. I'm going to take this right out of the wall. I'm going to throw it back at you. The madness that consumed King Saul, you don't want. Maybe you should never learn how to throw a spear. Maybe we should learn how to never bring accusation against God's anointed. This is so critical because God has asked certain people to steward a work. And guess what? As a family of God, we steward it together. We get to do it together. We get to steward the work that God is doing together. Now, when I talk about this, all of this actually was birthed out of Isaiah 58. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah 58. That's where we're going to spend most of our time, but so there's some concepts that we're going to weave in to this. Now, Isaiah 58 carries three verses that are foundational, fundamental scriptures for this ministry. They are foundational and they are fundamental scriptures for this ministry. And this is where the Lord had me just sitting in Isaiah 58, 10 through 12, just sitting on it. And I felt like that was going to be where I was going to go this week. And then during the worship, the Lord's like, stewardship, stewardship, stewardship. I was actually doing a leadership training, doing a strategic planning session with a board of a really amazing nonprofit here locally. And I'm in this thing and I was talking about some of the values that they might, and I brought up stewardship, and one of the persons goes, "Nope, that's too faith-based." And I'm like, okay, amen. That's good. We own that word. I don't mind that. I don't mind it because it's not ours, right? If I'm a steward, I'm a manager. So that I've been in Isaiah 58, 10 through 12, and then God starts speaking about stewardship, and stewardship is really like one of our core values, is really this really intense part of who we are, that listen, I don't have the privilege of taking ownership. I have the privilege as a manager of taking responsibility. You see the difference? It's not mine. It'll never be mine, but I'm still responsible because the King made me responsible. You guys with me? Okay. So, in Isaiah 58, at the very beginning, he talks about fasting that pleases God. I believe God's going to tie it all together, so just run with me. Isaiah 58, 1, I'm reading out of the New King James, says this, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet." So this is really cool. Isaiah 57 is about idolatry and Israel's idolatry. And then at the end of Isaiah 57, he's talking about the backsliders, and that the backsliders are they've just fallen away from the Lord. And he says, "I'll even have grace for them. They're, while they're sliding away, I will love them." Crazy good, right? Like, hallelujah. And then, 58 verse 1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight," say delight. It's a big word, we're going to end on that word, delight, okay? So, "delight my ways, they delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice." They take delight in approaching God. How do they approach God? "Why have we fasted? God, don't you see my performance? Don't you see all the things that I do? Why have we fasted? Why have we fasted?" They say, "and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? But God, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at what I did, look at how good I am, look at how many trials I've had to go through. We're in exile, God." Right? "In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers." I just want to stop right there and just talk about a few quick notes here. He's talking about, as a nation, you delighted to know my name. As a nation. Right? As a nation of Israel. So he's speaking bigger than an individual. The context here is much broader than just the person who fasts. There's a culture of performance that has overcome Israel. A culture of performance that says, "I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." We've got this reality being played out that the nation itself was bound to works And we can say that's from the law, but he's not even bringing up the law. He's talking about you fast and you ask for justice. You ask for this stuff, but your hearts are far from me. One of the results of performance is abusive behavior by leaders. One of the results of a performance culture is abusive behavior by leaders. I'll say it again. One of the results of a performance-based culture is abusive behavior by leaders, because the priority of the leader is that you do what I tell you to do. And, you know, I mean, if you just did what I told you to do, you'd be fine. If you just did what I think is right, then you wouldn't be in the trial you're in now. Oh, the hubris. Oh, the pride. Now, some people have a gift of wisdom, that they can see the situation. A lot of leaders can see what you don't. Okay, that's just me. Only the leaders in my life see parts of me that I can't see. The rest of you got to find one who can. Okay, because the leaders in my life, they see me and they know my weakness. And sometimes they can say, Chris, if you keep going that direction, it's going to be trouble. Chris, I'm noticing that you're so focused on yourself right now that you're missing out on what God's actually trying to do. Like, I've got leaders that speak into my life and they speak into me freely, but they don't try to control me. So if you don't have people speaking into your life, find somebody. Nowhere, when it becomes about performance, we do see control. We do see this really weird thing happen where suddenly you will get approval if you do what I say and disapproval if you don't. Then you see leaders begin to manipulate and abuse people. That's an abusive environment. That's different than being held accountable to stuff you said you were going to do. It's different. Accountability is, you said you're going to do this. Why haven't you done it? You're just trying to control me. No, you, the one who said you were going to do it. I'm just trying to hold you accountable. What's going on? Oh, Lord, have mercy. We are so jacked up. So this is where we see the exploiting all of your laborers here in Isaiah 58:3. At the end, it says, you know, hey, you come to me, you ask for justice, but you're exploiting all your laborers. You're controlling and manipulating and abusing people. Verse 4, indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. You're not going to have influence in the courts of heaven. You're not going to have influence in the courts of heaven, right, if you're being controlling and manipulative and abusing. Okay. Your influence will not be accepted. Okay, turn with me to verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Like, your outward performance, your performative, your acting before God, that place where we like, but don't I look okay if I put on the sackcloth and ashes and show that I'm mourning? Is it like I go through my religious motions so that I look good? I love that thing just a little bit that we're talking about, the fear of man, the fear of rejection, all that stuff. We do crazy stuff to make sure that we're accepted. Right? Like, we do a lot of things to make sure that nobody thinks that we're weird, right? That nobody thinks that we're awkward. right? Some of us just live in a perpetual state of awkward. We just say amen. Amen. Because people who can live in the perpetual state of awkward don't have the fear of man. Kim Spencer's laughing like. So this is interesting. Our performative outward appearance is not what God is looking for. Would you agree? Great. All right, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Let me just say this. God wants you to steward what he is giving you for the sake of other people. God wants you to steward what he's giving you for the sake of other people. What is a fast? A fast is a time that is set aside to seek the Lord. It is a time that is set aside to let your flesh die. It is a time that has been set aside that you're willing to let your flesh say no to the things that normally give it life, because you're going to go to the Lord for sustenance instead of to the dinner table for sustenance. This is a spiritual discipline that has been practiced for thousands of years. It is not so that you earn more favor with God or get God to give you justice. The fast draws you closer to him. Now, I believe that healthy fasting is for today. I've heard the idea that, well, since Jesus is in me and the bridegroom's with me, I don't need to fast. That's not biblical. Just saying. Like, that's not, like, yes, the Holy Spirit's in you. Jesus is actually sitting at the right hand of God. And so if you happen to have an encounter with Jesus, that's amazing. But your primary encounter is actually with the Holy Spirit, who led Jesus to go fast. We see two places specifically in the New Testament where the disciples fasted. Two. So we know that the early church fasted. They would be the ones to know. Let me just say, they had been with Jesus, and then they still thought they should fast. They were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They still thought they should fast. Okay? So, why did they fast? Listen, in Acts 13, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Acts 13. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Say prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, it says. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. One of the reasons why they fasted was in order to hear clearly about how to establish a New Testament government. Where do the apostle and the prophet go? We fast, we pray, we seek the Lord. We're not going to do anything until we hear from the Holy Spirit. We got 1,000 great ideas, and I could make a lot of sense why Barnabas and Saul should probably go do their thing. Let's have a committee meeting and have a conversation about it. No, they fasted and they prayed all together. They fasted and they prayed because God wanted to establish something. And let me tell you, something that God establishes, you know that you know it's the Lord. Maybe we need to get some flesh out of the way. Maybe we need to spend some time fasting to know where is God positioning and placing people. Do you know what's interesting? Because Paul and Barnabas were fasting too. So they kind of had to come up in their spirit too. It wasn't that somebody's like, Paul and Barnabas, you're called. And they're like, no, we don't feel called. Well, I fasted and prayed, therefore you have to go. That's control, it's manipulation. And so much of our churches do that. That's not okay. So here's the other passage that we see is in Acts 14, just a little bit further. Says this in verse 23. Well, starting 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Again, fasting was establishing the elders in the churches of Iconium, Lystra, and Antioch. Establishing the government, what is this going to look like? Why is this important for us? Because, listen, we have a governmental structure, right? We've got bylaws and rules, like there's a lot of structure. God's going to honor that. Let me just say, God is not bothered by a denomination or not a denomination. It bothers people. It doesn't bother God. I'm so sick of it. Can I be honest? You don't think God will use broken people in a broken system to fulfill his perfect will? That's all he's been doing. That's all he's been doing. Are you kidding me? Like you suddenly have a greater revelation on how God's going to do it? Sorry. No. The people of God, the government of God, those who are anointed and appointed into places of authority, they get alone, they fast, they pray, they get together, maybe with the whole church, we fast, we pray, say, who are you setting aside for the work of ministry? Who needs to get sent to Bonner's Ferry? Who needs to be sent to Coeur d'Alene? Who needs to be sent over to the West Coast? Who needs to be sent to Nicaragua? Who needs to be... Like we have to begin to lay out a different process for how we appoint than a good idea. Now, God always surprises me because sometimes I don't think it's the best idea and it's the perfect idea. I wouldn't put them in that. Wow, they're amazing. I believe that we are entering into a season where God, if we are going to fulfill that top line, reveal the love and the power of God, that we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we have to be stewarding the work of God, but the bottom line has to happen. We have to be a refuge for healing. We have to be a center for equipping. We have to be a launch pad for transformation. I love that in Isaiah, he says, you know, God's plan to break the yoke, God's plan to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, which there is an anointing on this house for that. He He is calling us into a deeper level of stewarding these words. He's calling us into a deeper level of stewarding what it means to be a house of prayer and fasting. We wonder why sometimes there's not breakthrough. Jesus says some things only come by prayer and fasting. Well, he's talking right here. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. We must steward. We must manage the household of God for breakthrough. That means we take prayer seriously. It's not a side note, church. It's not. It's not a something that we kind of do halfway. Fasting isn't just a good idea for this body. It's not just a good idea. We have to come into agreement with what God has given us to steward. That means that we partner with what God has asked us to do. This will make you uncomfortable. It'll make you hungry. It'll make you wonder, am I doing this out of performance? Because sometimes God will ask you to steward something that requires something of you. It requires you to push past your flesh. It requires you to do something that's a little more difficult than what you originally thought that you intended to give. It costs more. The minute that you do all of that for the sake of gaining favor with God, you miss it. But if you do it to actually be with him, you win it. There is no better way to steward what God has given us here than to allow our prayers and our fasting to take us into intimacy with God so that we are hearing clearly. This is why they fasted and prayed. They now were delighting in the Lord. They are hearing his voice and they come together in one accord, in one place. And the sound of rushing wind came in. Why? They were pressing in together. For who? To be with Jesus. All right, that verse 7 is key because when you fast and you pray, there's a spiritual thing that happens. But see, God says, listen, if you're going to fast and pray, you actually got to go do something about it. Okay, go feed some people. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out and you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning. When you begin to serve proactively, when you activate service versus soulish performance, you begin to see breakthrough in the community. I got quiet. All right. Your light shall break forth, verse 8, and like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking of wickedness. I I believe God's saying, listen, it's easy to find people's flaws. Somebody say amen. Okay, it's easy to find people's flaws. It is easy to see where they're getting it wrong. It's easy to wish that they would do it a little differently, more the way that I would like it. It's easy to see that stuff. We must become diligent in this next season in fasting and prayer to break the yoke of wickedness in the household. Right here. We must be diligent to purify our hearts, as it says in James, to no longer be double-minded. See, God has given us territory to steward. He's given us this region to steward it and to bring it into the kingdom of heaven. It might cost you some things. They're all His. Like, if it's all His and I'm just a steward, then if I'm rejected, it's His reputation. And God gets to defend Himself. If I'm choosing to live the way that Jesus wants me to live, you might find that there's a lot of people who actually probably like you, right? I mean, I'm surprised, like, people know I'm like a very conservative Christian pastor. And yet I've rubbed elbows with very, very liberal people and they like me. They like me. We get along great. We have great conversations because I keep the main thing the main thing. They need to know the love of Jesus, not just believe my politic. They need somebody to rub shoulders with them so that they know what Jesus looks and smells like. How could you? They believe. We are stewarding. I believe that one of the things that we're stewarding and why I believe God is calling us into a new season of dedicated prayer and maybe even for some of you taking some time every week to fast and pray. I'm just going to put that out there. You need to speak to the Lord about what He wants you to do. But I believe that we're entering into a season where as we pursue the will of God, as we pursue the government of God to be established in this region, where God is going to start, as we heard prophesied multiple times last week, unity, unity, unity. You know, that's the establishment of a government in one accord. It means that some of the leaders, some of the pastors, some of the different faith leaders in this community are going to come together in one accord. Guys, that's not going to happen unless we fast and pray for it. It's not going to happen unless we call on heaven to bring down a move of the Holy Spirit that draws us into one accord. Well, those were really nice prophetic words you got last week about unity, Pastor. What are you doing about it? Happened to me 3 times this week. That exact conversation. And I smile and nod. And go, well, we'll see what the Lord does. I'm praying. And I want to say, what are you doing about it? just being honest. Put my heart out there a little bit. See, God wants to break down all the false expectations that we've had in our midst. He wants us to no longer point fingers in our midst. He wants all of the speaking wickedness to stop in our midst. Steward your mouth. If you feel like Saul threw a spear at you, stop talking about it. David didn't. You never see once David badmouth Saul. Not once. I'm not saying David was perfect in that. I think it's really important that we stop speaking wickedness and allow, and I'm speaking like, I love you guys. You guys know my heart, and I feel so much freedom to speak to the region. And I know it might feel like I'm saying it directly to you as if you're saying wicked things or whatever. Like, don't pick up what's not yours to pick up, please. Okay, so we just release. I just felt it. So we just release you of all responsibility. If it's not yours, don't pick it up. If the Holy Spirit's like, oh gosh, you should probably repent, then just go do that. Okay, just go do it. Right? There's no judgment. I'm looking around. I don't know anybody in here that's speaking wickedness or doing this, but I feel like we need to address this at a much higher level. And church, if we can be of one accord and of one mind and begin to press in and pray and go after unity of this region, go after the kingdom established in this region, asking God to appoint and set apart the evangelists, to appoint and set apart the prophets, and appoint and set apart those people that are called to be able to go in with the full anointing, with the full authority of God throughout this region to change this region, that's when we're going to see revival. And it's coming. I have a weird privilege. I don't fully understand it, where God shoots me up to 30,000 feet and shows me a map and goes, this is okay, do this next. And I go, okay, so we need to deal with fasting and prayer. Right? Because the core, we're about to read the core of our identity as a church. And yet God's like, no, you're not stewarding your fasting and your prayer well yet. Yeah, this is who you are, but you're not stewarding that thing yet. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. It's not about performance. We actively engage with God for the sake of finding Him. And when we find Him, breakthroughs happen. All right, you guys all right? All right. All right, verse 10.